Good evening, everyone. Okay. Noah asked me, is it going to be a long message or a short message? Like, well, I don't know, I said 45 minutes. Usually when this is my process of how do I prepare for a message, I tend to practice it, and not because I don't know what I'm going to say, but how long is it going to be? I'm not experienced in that. And my idea for next message will be, you know, to help Noah practice his Spanish. I'm going to say the message in Spanish, and he's going to translate. You know, to do something different. So I'll invite you to open your Bibles in Psalm 90. And today, I've been a message that is going to take you back to elementary school. And we're going to learn how to count. You know, I don't know how good are you at math. But some people say I was. I don't know. I study engineer, but I don't know how to pass my math classes. But if you know how to count, that's good. But we're going to learn how to count the Bible way. Okay? And if that psalm, it might be very known for some of you, Psalm 90. And the title should have something that might say, "The Eternity of God, Immense Frailty, A Prayer of Moses, the man of God." So it's attributed to Moses. And the verse that we're going to focus right now, go to verse 12, and it says like this. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I'm just going to start in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word that you give us. Make we open our hearts so that we can put in practice your word as we learn how to count and number our days in this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And I have different versions, you know. I like to read my Spanish Bible, and then I go over different versions to see what the Bible is trying to say in my language so I can get it right. And there are other versions, but it's curious, the three versions that I check, and if you go to the NASB, if you have an NASB, you'll have the last word. It says that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So you may present a heart of wisdom, or we may gain a heart of wisdom, but you're gaining wisdom from the heart. So it's really interesting. And also, the verse says, teach us, right? So when someone's trying to teach us, we are trying to learn from that. But what is learning, right? Learning is a process where you acquire knowledge through experience in life. You might go to college for that. You might, you know, do an activity and learn something. But you can say that you have learned if you don't change, right? The definition, I have it here, for learning, it's modification of a behavioral tendency by experience, says. So it's a process where we change and where there's transformation. So change, something that is applied, it's a conduct, right? We might go to school, you know, to learn a trade, pick a career, and you might think you know it all. You know, in the field that I study, I learned that I shouldn't have studied and wasted my 4 years. Not discouraging everybody that's going to college, right? If you're studying for being a doctor or nurse, don't. But as soon as we get out of college in my field, which is the technology, you're just outdated, right? There's not a software for you like, you know, in Matrix, and you get it in 5 seconds. There's not such a thing like that. So it's curious, and I will say I'd rather now learn by doing certificates or doing experience, and I've learned a lot more through experience than going to a college, right? When I came here, studied for cybersecurity, everything, it's gone. Whatever I learned, now it's something new. So sometimes we might think that for studying in a field, we know everything, you know, but you know what you can't beat is experience, right? So if you are young and you don't listen like to your elders, they always, my mom told me, listen to your elders. Look for advice. So I always listen carefully because even from the little ones, you can learn something. There's always something that you're going to learn. There's a funny story here when I came and I was trying to get a car. And in Honduras, it's 40 degrees all year round. So we always put water to our to a radiator. You know, and in here, you put a different thing. You know, you put it's coolant. We have coolant there, but it doesn't make sense to put there. But someone told me, do not ever put water because it's going to get freeze. I didn't know that could happen in my life. So, and that person was really young, so I didn't know, right? So it's a challenge. And if you're young as well and you don't listen, you think your parents don't know anything, and you think you know more because you got at the tip of your fingers information now, like AI, but you're wrong. AI can give you experience as well, right? So learning, again, you need to put that in action, right? Expert says that you learn by reading, right? You read a book, you read something, a text, but if you don't put that into practice, it's like you never read it. Also, another good way to learn is by watching. I like watching a lot of videos. I like watching languages, culture. But again, if we don't take action on that, it's like you never learn. Also, by experience again. You do something, you put into practice, but you're saying, you know what? That's not my thing. I'll just keep doing it the wrong way. So you didn't learn your lesson. It's like you tell your kids, don't put your hands on the stove because it's hot. And then they do it, right? They're going to get burned. And then next time, they see the stuff, they do that again, keep doing it. You know, you end up saying you didn't learn your lesson, right? So if we want to learn, if you want to say that we want to learn, there must be a change, right? And this, thinking about the message of today morning as well, there has to be a change in our lives as Christians. There must be spiritual growth in our lives. Because then, like Moses here speaking, the Jewish people knew the Bible, you know, the whole Bible. They were well-studied, but they didn't live the Bible, right? So there was a problem in there that you may know everything, but still you don't live everything, right? So this psalm is the oldest psalm, and it's, again, a tribute to Moses. And in verse 1, if you look at verse 1, it's an introduction about what Moses is going to say. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Right? So here he's trying to solve the problem since Adam till now, death, life, death, and eternity, and God and man's frailty, as the title suggests. So I want you to think, what are you living for? Or why are you living for, right? This is what Moses is trying to say through all this psalm. And we might not just look verse by verse, but in general, you know, that's a good question to ask. At some point in your life, you might think, why am I here? You know, and if you did that question while you were not a Christian, that it can get you really lost as well, you know. Or if you're a Christian and at some point you did ask, why did God put me in this place, right? So Moses is trying to address this. And by divine inspiration, he solves this in the psalm by saying three things. So the first thing that he says, one, we're travelers and God is our home. So, and if you're taking notes, that happens in verse verse 1 again. The second thing that he's trying to say is, we are apprentices, and life is our school, okay? And the third one is, we are Christians, and future is our friend. And the first one that we see here, we're travelers, and God is our home. In verse 1 and 2, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forward, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, your God. So it's comparing this, and God is an eternal being. We are finite beings. And he's saying that, you know, we're in this life and we're in a journey, you know, from life to that, from earth to heaven. And it's, if you look at what he's saying, he's talking in between generations, because Moses was this man that was in charge of bringing the people from Israel, and he was in charge of taking them to the promised land, right? And the first generation, they died in the desert. So they didn't got to cross and see the promised land. So that's one type of generation. They did learn how to live in the desert and wander there. And the second one, you know, they partially live in the desert, but they went to the promised land. So from the desert, they needed to learn how to prepare to live in this new land that they were getting. So he's including two type of experiences. He's acknowledging also God as the creator, and he's saying that he's been the dwelling place from generations to generation. So what is your dwelling place in this earth? And then the second thing, you know, first one, we're travelers and God is our home. And the second one, we're apprentices and life is our school. Okay, and it's interesting that who's right in this is not a nobody, right? It's not a person that, you know, he's ignorant or anything by saying like that. But Moses, if you go back to his story, he was raised by the Egyptians, right? In Egypt, by the time, it was so big, he's large, it was one of the biggest nations in the world. And Moses probably was very well educated, right? He probably knew everything that that people were supposed to know at that time in the world. And however, what he didn't know, right, he wasn't prepared for what is coming for him, right? To guide this people of Israel and through the desert, through the promised land. And then two fundamental lessons in this psalm. The first one is life is brief. And can you agree with me on that? Yes, right? And then the second one, you might agree or not, but life is hard. Life is difficult. And we're all in the same boat. And I'm learning, and as I'm learning, I learned that as I grew older, lives get harder, you know? I'm invited to play volleyball, and now I can't jump. My whole body is sore the next day. You know, I gotta wait till 2 weeks to go back and play. So it's not fun. And a fundamental thing here is that we can't learn without God's guidance, right? We can't learn without him. And you might compare, I like this, I watched this interview, and the interviewer was saying that life is like a diary or like a notepad, right? So you have your book, and when you're younger, it's like this, you know? It's full of pages, and then you start by the same page, and you start writing, you know? You start writing, and then you skip pages, you go on, and then you do doodles all around. You rip pages of that notepad, of that notebook. But as you're older, and then that book that was like that, it's just thinner and thinner and thinner. And now you're 50, you're 60, you're 40, you're 30, and you're saying, you know what? That book is just, it's thin. And then you start doing a small letter, you know, writing upside down. You don't draw cartoons now. You don't waste pages. You don't rip pages of that book, right? You're thinking, I better write a Nobel Prize on this notebook because this is all I have. So it's sad if you put it that way. You know, it makes you think, what am I doing? What am I spending my life at this moment? But the interesting thing is that we count our years not by our days, you know, but we all need to live one day at a time. and we usually make plans. And I choose this topic because it's a new year, right? You know, for us, it's already gone, but I wanted to try to remind you, sometimes we make list of goals, you know, and we say like, oh, you know, where I'm going to travel this summer. If you're like me, perhaps, you know, you have a family meeting and say like, what are we going to do? You know, you want to travel to see your mom and dad? You want to travel to do that? But who gave you that authority to do that, right? You learn to live. And the verse here says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I'm going to be reading that and saying that through the whole message, right? So you need to learn one day at a time. And as I was giving that example of the notebook, you know, Moses is not trying to make you depressed here or sad, right? There's hope. And as we saw in the morning, we have our hope, and Jesus is our hope. And through the whole psalm, it looks like he's saying, you know, life is hard, yes. There's no hope. We're all going to die, basically. But no, the essence of the psalm is life itself. It's not pointing to death, but life. But life has no meaning or significance if you don't learn how to administer it, right? There's a time for everything. The first message I remember that of this year, it was in Ecclesiastes, and it says there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time for you to get a house. There's a time for you to get married, to have children. And all in that is the will of the Lord. You know, you don't own your day. You don't own your life. And there's a contrast as well between the verses 7 to 12 and 13 to 17. It's like he's saying the past and present experiences are preparing us for eternity. I said at the beginning, life is a journey, right? So we need to prepare to take lessons for eternity, for a life's future. So what is God's desire for you and I? If you go to verses 13 through 17, I'm just going to read it at fast pace. It says, return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion of your servants. Right? Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord of our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. He repeats that again. So in summary, there are three problems presented in the psalm. Your problem and mine. And the first one, again, life is brief. The second one, life is hard. And the third one, life is useless, right? But life is brief. And what does Moses says? Again, verse 12. Life is brief, so teach us to count our days. Lord, I want to learn how to live, to value every day. Life is hard. And it says in verse 14, satisfy us. Make us glad because life is hard. The third one, life is useless, right? But I like this last verse, the 17. But he says, establish the work of our hands for us. And he repeats that again. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then sometimes we might think what we do is insignificant. Because probably, I'm not at a big corporate job. Or I'm not, you know, changing the world, helping turtles or seals at the coast, you know. Or I'm at home and staying at home with my kids. No, the Lord says, establish the work of our hands for us. And he repeats that again. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Right? And then Moses closes the psalm by saying that that's the essence of life. You know, learn how to count your days, search satisfaction in God, and let him establish the work which are not in vain. You know, being a Sunday school teacher, being in full-time ministry, being a mom and dad, taking care of your parents, it doesn't matter. You got to let him establish the work of your hands. And the future is our friend, as this last point that we stated. And if we really know the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and if we really know to him, we are going to let him teach us to count our days. Now, that's the introduction. And then we have other three things that we're going to take a look at here. And that's the first one, God's vision of our time. Because God's living in a different, not our same time, right? It says it on one of the verse there. The second thing we're going to look as well is value and appreciation of our days. And then how to be victorious on a day-to-day basis. So the first thing is God's vision of our time. So we need to understand time because it's different from ours. God lives in eternality, and then he's eternal, unlike us, we're finite beings. And he always speaks more about days than years. And it's funny because in Spanish, you got the word birthday in his cumpleaños. So, but in English, you have birthdays. And, you know, I'm trying to make connections here and say like days, because count and number your days. But in Spanish, you don't get that. In Spanish, it's something like, I don't remember translation, but it's kind of funny because they're all altered itself. It's like year's completion. That's the literal meaning in Spanish, year's completion. It's not birthday, so it's funny to me. So we need to understand that. And I went and looked in the Bible, and according to ChatGPT here, says that the word days is mentioned 1,741 times in 1,541 verses. And days is mentioned 868 times for a total of 2,609. So God is looking at your life by days and not years. Okay, when you say, I lost a year of my life, you know, being dramatic. No, you lost a day, God says. Because every day is valuable to the Lord. We don't like Mondays. Nobody likes Mondays. I don't like Mondays, right? But, you know, I only like Wednesdays and Sundays because I go to church and I get to see everybody else. No, the Lord is saying, you got to appreciate and learn how to value Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all of your days, right? And I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes, some examples in that. We're not going to read them, but we're going to just mention them. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, and 8, 11, and 14, and 4 it says, after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. You know, 8, the days of Adam. And he keeps going on. The verse on number 5 says, so all of the days that Adam, and in number 8, it says, so all the days of Seth, so all the days of Enosh, so all the days of Canaan in verse 14. So again, it's making a reference to the days. And then in Exodus 23:12, God said, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. And if you go to Joshua 24:7 as well, and I couldn't find it in the King James or the NSB. It has a different. When he's talking to the people of Israel, he says, and when they cried out to Jehovah, he put darkness between them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness many days. In other versions, it says long time, for a long time. 1 Samuel 1:11 too. When Hannah is asking for a male child, on the last part of that verse, it says, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his hand. Daniel 5:26, again in the ESV version. Joshua, I found it on an ASV version. And Daniel 5:26 says, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. And finally, one reference, Psalm 118, chapter 24 says, you should know by memory, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So God sees the days of our lives and not years. How do you wake up today? You wake up angry? You gotta go to church early. Some people don't like snow, right? I don't like shoveling. Some people do. Cecilia likes to sit at the window, have a hot chocolate, watching me shovel. But the truth here on the last verse reference is that today is the day that the Lord has made to rejoice and be glad. We need to have a clear that God sees of life based in our days and not years. We count our days or years, not our days. If I was going to ask you today, how many days old are you? That's not an easy question, but easy to solve. You get your phone, if you multiply that by 365, you get an answer, and then you'll be shocked at how many days you've been living in this earth, right? And here's where understanding and wisdom starts, to count our days and not our years. Okay, so that was the first thing. The second thing we need to learn is that every day is valuable. Okay, if you go back to the Psalm again, Psalm 90 and then verse 9 and 10, notice that in the whole verse, it's the word days is mentioned. It says, Psalm 90, verses 9, 10, 12, 14, and 15, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a scythe. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Every day is valuable. Appreciation passes through our days. And the word in verse 12, again, our base verse, so teach us to number our days, talks about the idea to understand the concept that our days are valuable. And it continues by saying that we may gain, that we may present, meaning to bring much fruit, to understand the concept that the day is valuable, and this will bring wisdom to your heart. How? Well, by counting your days. Then, if you go to Matthew 6:11 on your Bible, that's the prayer that the Lord gave us. If you read it, it says, give us this week or weekly bread. No, sorry. It says, give us this month or monthly bread. No, right? Doesn't say it like that. Give us this day our daily bread. All right? He doesn't say month. He doesn't say year. He says day. And if you go some more verses down there to verse 34, the Lord is so clear and it's so wise that Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day, its own trouble. How much wisdom and majesty in that verse. So stop worrying about tomorrow, because every day it's its own trouble. If you look in your Bible in the New James, yet in the New Testament still, James 4, 13 to 16. We clearly, the verse says that we don't own tomorrow, as I said at the beginning. Who gave you authority about tomorrow? It says, we read it, James chapter 4, verses 13 and 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting evil. I learned from my wife that, you know, I always made plans and said, we're going to do this, this, and that. And she always said, yeah, the Lord willing. You know, I was like, yes, I know that. I know that at the back. Yes, but say it, she said. You know, because she always pointed at me and said, say it. Because you don't know what's going to happen, right? I might plan to be alive on December. I don't know. Clearly, James is saying here, who has given you authority over tomorrow? So stop. The Lord in Matthew 6 there is saying, tomorrow has its own trouble. You don't own tomorrow, right? That's our Lord's philosophy that can change lives. Every day it's valuable. And if we don't learn how to count each day, we miss the opportunity to gain wisdom to our hearts. Again, so teach us, the verse 12, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, a day, it's when you work and when you're worried about doing things in a day, you don't realize how long a day is. You know, the morning, the message also said, you don't put excuses. We all have the same time. But a clear example is perhaps many of you have gone to the emergency room, a doctor visit, or I know that when my wife says she's gone, she's away, she's going to, for example, in December, I always tell to myself, wow, I'm going to have a lot of time for my own. And then I start doing everything. I go to work. And then I found in the living room, just sitting there. And like, so much time. What I'll do with that time, you know? Because we usually do activities, but then I'm left alone. And I read the whole book that I was supposed to finish reading. What do I do with my time, right? You can relate as well if you go, I've gone to the emergency sometimes with her. And you know that the first time, I didn't know how to prepare. The second time, I knew exactly. She's going to bring my book. I'm going to download some PDF, you know, get them there. But 2 hours into waiting, I found like there's so much time. What am I going to, I finished reading this. You start watching or scrolling in your phone, and you're like, you know, my eyes hurt now. You know, put your phone away. Another example could be when you go to a clinic. Recently, I got sick and I needed a prescription. And I'm like, should I go? I should go because I know I need this. And this medicine will take it away from me fast. So I go in there. You know, I text my boss. You might know him. You know, I'm going to be late because I'm going to a clinic. He probably knows that I'm going to be there 4 hours, you know, stuck. So I get there, and, you know, as soon as I get there, I regret it. Saying, you know, how much, you know, I had this meeting, I'm going to have to cancel. You know, I get the number, sit down, just wait. 15 minutes go, 30 minutes. And as soon as you're making the decision, you know, you're like, I'm going to go. Daniel, you know, get health card, boom, sit down. Then you're 45 minutes in there. You sit down, cross your arm. Again, if you're scrolling, you got a book. You know, you look for something to do and start to analyze the people and saying, you know, why are these people here? How many of them are lying, right? Perhaps. And then you're losing your patience. Look at the watch. It's an hour and a half. And you're like, should I go? Well, no, I'm just going to stuck here, you know. And then you hear someone at the back, and you're like, I should have brought my mask as well, right? You don't know. Kids crying, and then you're only 2 hours in there. And as soon as you're making your decision of saying, you know what, I'm just going to leave, the doctor's ready for you. You know, go in there at the room, examination room, and then you wait, and then you're like, well, I'm stuck here now. I can't go, right? I better just stay here. You wait for another 20, 30 minutes, perhaps. Dr. Goss sees you, gives you the prescription because you explain, 5 minutes, you're gone. As soon as you look at your watch, you said, 4 hours. Half of my day wasted. And then you realize, was that worth it? You know, perhaps it is for you, perhaps it's not. But then you learn that you have all the things that you were supposed to do in the morning, and then you're trying to fit it into the afternoon. And then you learn that you value that day because it's 4 hours wasted. But in those 4 hours, you did a lot, right? So one day can drive you crazy. And let's go through your day as an exercise, right? A day, though it's fast, it consists of many changes. So you wake up in the morning and, you know, take a shower, do everything, and you gotta have breakfast, have coffee, perhaps. You sit down with your family, say goodbye, get into your car, but then as soon as you get into your car, there's traffic, perhaps. Okay, well, Sudbury, there's no traffic in Sudbury. Okay, but, you know, I've dealt with school buses trying to get it to work. I've dealt with, so much snow in my car that I'm just going to be late, right? The train, you know, I've gone and wait 10, 15 minutes there when I know it takes me 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go anywhere else. So you're stuck with that. And that's, your day is barely starting, right? And also, it's not that you're starting there. You probably start at home, you go out there, but you got to go out to the world. And the world is nasty, and the world is, you know, as we said at the beginning, it's hard, it's difficult. And then you got to deal with all this. Once you go to the world, then you got to deal with people at work. People at work are hard, right? And then if you don't work in a Christian environment, it's even more tough because you got to deal with people's character. And as much as the Lord blesses, you know, holding our emotions, these people that are not Christians, you got to deal with them, right? And it's sad. I have pity on people that, you know, have this type of jobs that, you know, people get aggressive. And when I came here, that was one of my thoughts as well. Where am I going to end up working at? It's kind of hard, you know, because people make fun of you because of, you know, because you're a Christian, right? But if you're learning and you have a good foundation, your faith protects you and stops you from everyone around, right? I've been in jobs that saying like, oh, don't make those red jokes because, you know, Daniel's here, right? So it creates a barrier from you, right? and the rest of the people. And then, you know, at this time, it's almost 4:35, and then you got to turn home, right? And probably your day wasn't that good. You had a fight with your boss. You got to deal with clients. And then you start, you know, dropping all these bombs into your family, perhaps. We all carry an emotional bag from tiny kids from school. And as men, perhaps, we're the last one that we should, drop that on our families. I learned in a school job that I had, they always told us, keep your back, your emotional back out the door, because the kids, they're not at fault, right? So I learned that, and every time I go to different places, my bag is right out there. You know, whatever I carry from home, I leave it out there. Whatever I carry from work, I leave it outside, because no one is to blame. I deal with that, right? And no one is to blame, not even kids, especially kids. So that's your day, you know, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of you going home, you know, and then 8 hours of sleeping, if you had good quality of sleep or not. But then, so I got to hurry here, on point number three, every day, you need to be victorious every day. So every day is victory. And how do you do that? Again, if you're taking notes on some, you could go to Ephesians 3:16, and the question will be, what do we need to be victorious? Well, Paul, in his prayer, in Ephesians 3:16, he says that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. So we gotta strengthen in the Lord. Physically, we weaken every day, but we are strengthened and filled with the power by the Spirit if we're obedient and committed. Okay, the strength from God's Spirit enables us not to waste time, but to live wisely with the purpose according to His will. Another thing, you know, being strengthened in the Lord, the second thing, make God the first thing in your day. He must be the Lord of your day. In Matthew chapter 6, if you go one verse above, says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? Moses in Psalm 90 that we're reading, he's asking to be satisfied and full with God's mercy. You know, in verse 1, he says, our dwelling place. In verse 12, we gain wisdom. Satisfy us. We may rejoice and be glad in your days. We can't gain these rewards if we don't put Christ in the center of our lives. Another thing that we need to be victorious on our days is to bring your thoughts to God and do not let them control you. And the verses for this, if you're taking notes again, it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I'm just going to read them fast. We don't have much time. It says, we're destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to obedience to Christ. So all of those evil thoughts, all of those negativity, you know, put them away, block them, all right? Telling yourself, I can do this, I can do that. Instead of being depressed or, you know, being dramatic, put your faith in the Lord. Block all these things. Ephesians 6:16 says that the enemy is throwing flaming arrows at us. So cover with the shield, says. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And the final reference for this point, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? Be changed, as we learn, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that it's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being transformed means change. Okay, another point to be victorious is don't blame the circumstances. Whatever circumstances you're on, don't blame the circumstances. God is your only circumstance. And that brings me to a point that is attached to this, and it's don't forget the great value of the attitude, right? There's a good poem from Charles Swindoll. I'm going to read it to you because it's worth it. I got reminded of it at work once. And it says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude in life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts, is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearances, giftings, or skill. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. If you wake up, you know, angry, that's going to be your day. And that's not because someone did something to you, but because you're choosing. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that's our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. So don't blame the circumstances. Choose the right attitude. And finally, just in time, in today's culture is relevant the question that probably most of you have heard. I learned that through the small bracelets, and that's, what will Jesus do? It is really relevant. Right? Today is the only day you must live. And people are worried about life, what's going to happen. And the Lord is saying, learn how to count the days so you can gain wisdom. God is inviting you to live one day at a time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word that was shared here because we know it comes from you. Thank you for putting all these thoughts into our minds. And as we end up this second month of the year, probably around 60 days that we're going to have, make us learn, Lord, and gain wisdom to our heart so we can count our days, number our days, because our days are not wasted. We're in this journey, living, preparing to eternity. And we must prepare every day with the tools that you have given us. Help us, God. And if someone is far from you, God, let him hear your voice, enter your heart, and don't let him think that their days are wasted. You changed life, Peter, when you asked him and you put him back into ministry. He was a foundation for the church, and his days were numbered. That's great. Father, we ask you this evening to take us home safe and to prepare us for the rest of the week. Thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.